this episode to be informative and let my listeners kind of know my journey. And I know a lot of you are kind of staying up to date with me. And so I'm sharing that, but also just because I want other women to really recognize this condition and this and the risks and things that those symptoms that you might be just putting off.
Hey, I'm your host, Dr. Desiree Cassell. I'm an orthopedic and pelvic floor physical therapist specializing in women's health, aka pelvic floor. I'm a wife, mom of three, foodie, lover of all things movement and nature, and I'm super passionate about educating, empowering, and supporting other women like you to find and maintain balance throughout all aspects of their lives without pain, pressure, or peeing their pants. And this is the Balanced Momtality Podcast, where we will talk about all things pelvic floor, your core, and optimizing your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum recovery, providing you with the knowledge and tools so that you can feel like the strong, playful, and happy mom that you and your family deserve. Now let's get you out of those pads and back to loving movement. Fill up your water, pop in those AirPods, roll out your mat, and let's connect. Before we start today's episode, just a quick disclaimer that anything mentioned in this podcast is not meant to treat or diagnose any medical conditions. If you have any questions or concerns about your healthcare needs, please seek the care of your medical provider. This is also a safe space where we will be talking about very sensitive but important topics, such as issues with peeing and pooping, relationships, and even sex. So if you have littles around, probably a good idea to pop those AirPods in. But otherwise, I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Alrighty, we are back with another week on the Balanced Momtality Podcast. I am so glad you are here joining me today. If this is your first time checking out the show, welcome. I hope you find it inspiring and helpful. And if you have been hanging out with me for a while, then thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot tell you enough how much it means to me to not only see all of my regular listeners showing up, but seeing new ones come in and hearing from you guys. Lately, I've been getting a lot more people reaching out to me and just telling me how amazing the podcast is and how thankful they are that they found this information. And some of them have already healed their issues just listening to this show. You guys, seriously, come on. It's a no-brainer. We need to be sharing this information with other women so that they can have this knowledge. You can piece together my episodes and get some tools and information and education and some more insight into what's going on with your body and some things that you can start doing today. And you might even solve your issues just piecing it together. But I have a better way. You can reach out to me and work with me directly. I can help give you a plan that is based on what your body is dealing with, some past issues that you've had. We take it all into account, what your current posture is, your breath, your balance, and your muscle restrictions, all the things I help lay out for you. We talk about diet, sleep, stress management, all of the foundational pieces, how we can make it easy and bite-sized so that you feel like it's not just another to-do on your list, but something that's actually giving you energy back and helping take away the pain, helping take away all of the leaks, all of the anxiety around going to the bathroom. I'm here for you. Let me know. Don't hesitate. Reach out. And also, if you've been finding this show helpful, please leave a 5-star review. It really does help this show show up for so many other women. And I am just here to help spread the word. Thank you for being in my corner. And today's episode, I'm going to dive in a little bit more to my own personal journey I've been going through lately. So if you have been listening, you already know. And if not, you'll hear a little bit about that, but also you can hear more if you go back through some of the last couple months' episodes, specifically where I'm talking about pelvic pain and my journey, and I give some updates in some of the other episodes. So if you want to know from start to finish, feel free to go back and binge. But today I do want to just touch back on pelvic venous disorder and this condition that I have recently been diagnosed with and that I have been navigating and learning so much more about. And so I was previously calling this pelvic congestion syndrome because when I was taught this back in some of my pelvic floor training, we were told it was pelvic congestion syndrome. However, there are some recent changes to the terminology. So we are updating and learning. It is pelvic venous disorder. And essentially what this is, and this can be a couple different things, but essentially what this is that you have some reflux and congestion or backflow of blood pooling in the pelvis. And so varicose veins is really what causes this because of an increase in pressure in that circulatory system. So that increased pressure ends up dilating the veins, stretching the veins beyond their capacity. Those valves that help blood from flowing backwards get ineffective because they can no longer close. So we just get this backflow of blood into the pelvis. And this can cause varicose veins and some kind of bulging of the vein. And this also can cause the body to create like a circulatory collateral network, which tries to relieve that pressure by creating other vessels. And so this can happen from a few things, right? We can have this happen just from an increase in pressure in the system, which ultimately is what kind of causes all of these symptoms. It's the reflux and pressure in that system. But what's causing that increase in pressure? And this is where it can be a couple things. So if we think about just the basic increase of pressure in the system, and one of the most common risks for pelvic venous disorder is pregnancy, especially multiple pregnancies. And originally, I thought that this was because of the compression in the system and all of the extra weight in the system, but actually, it's because of all of the increased volume of blood flow in the system. So all of that extra blood that's pumping around, helping grow that baby, stretches the veins. And ideally, the veins retract and recoil after birth. However, each pregnancy that you have can make that more difficult and challenging for that system and those types of tissues that aren't really contractile tissue like your muscle or even our arteries. Our arteries have some contractile tissue in them so that they can contract and pump the blood through your system. Whereas veins don't have that contractile ability. They work based off of the pressure that the arteries are creating and that pump of blood through the system. And so pregnancy in itself can cause this. And this is what caused mine. I've had 3 kids. I also have very loosey-goosey connective tissue. So for those mamas out there who are hypermobile, or you think of yourself as being double jointed, which really is just another term for being hypermobile and very flexible in your joints, which also means that your connective tissue isn't very strong, unfortunately. And so I'm also at higher risk for this issue. And the other thing that can cause that buildup of pressure is a physical compression of that vein system. And so we can get a couple different syndromes where the artery that's near the vein, based on how that person developed, actually is compressing and closing off some of that vein. And so this narrows, obviously, that vein canal and restricts the system, increasing pressure and backflow of blood. So where do I stand? I, at this point, have gotten my CT scan results, and it has been identified that I have some of the reflux, where I'm getting the varicose veins specifically in my ovarian, or we call them gonadal veins. So the veins around my ovaries basically have been ballooning up. I thought this was a cyst. Every ovulation, every menstrual cycle, I was feeling kind of a sharp pain near my ovary, and I could even sometimes tell, like, oh, it's this side I'm ovulating on, or this side, and I thought it was the cyst. But come to find out, it's actually the dilation of these vessels in that space. And so I have such dilation, yay, that I actually have it on both my left and my right side. It's mostly common for symptoms and issues to first show up on the left side, just based on how our anatomy is. And usually that blood shunts to the right side. And then if the right side can't handle that extra pressure and backflow from the left, then we can get that buildup on the right. And I do have it on both sides. So both of my ovarian vessels are very dilated. And then I also have a collateral network that got formed between the two sides that has connected through my perimetrial tissue. So through my uterus, I have these extra dilated vessels as well, and this collateral network. And so it's been a learning journey, to say the least, because obviously being a physical therapist, a procedure and anything, you know, getting cut, any going under, that is just like the furthest thing from what I try to use as my toolbox for healing my body. I have put so much of my knowledge to the test with this condition. And for a while, I was starting to think I was a fraud because I was helping all these other women with their pelvic floor problems, but my pelvic floor wasn't doing so hot. Granted, I'm not leaking. I don't feel my prolapse very often, if at all, anymore. I rarely ever have pain, but there's been some lingering tightness. I've been dealing with some kind of constipation due to that tightness, not due to a lack of fiber or hard stool. It felt like I was pushing through a tiny hole. And part of why I wasn't really succeeding was really, I felt like, because I wasn't being consistent with my stuff. So I kind of had my own reasoning for why, oh, the tightness isn't going away. I also had this cramping in my inner butt cheek from time to time, where I just felt like right near my perineum, like inner groin, butt cheek space, like it just felt like pressure, tightness. And I frequently feel the need to just like put pressure there and relieve it. And it feels pretty tight. So again, I attribute it to muscular issues and that I just wasn't being consistent and being the best patient, okay? However, come to find out, and we will really see, won't we, after I do this procedure, what was true and what wasn't, because I am and I have decided to go through with the procedure and get an embolization and some sclerotherapy. So what this looks like is the embolization is where they're actually going to go through my inferior jugular vein in my neck with a long catheter and all the way down into my iliac veins and my ovarian veins. And they're going to first, with the sclerotherapy, inject some different foaming agents, which also I'm not excited about having these foreign things in my body. I'm really hoping my body handles it well, but it's going to shut off that collateral network. So it's going to kill those veins off so that that is no longer accessible to the system. And then they're going to put in some metal coils in the gonadal veins to help open them up and align them better so that the blood flow can move through that system as it's supposed to. Again, not so excited about the metal coils and all of that. I also got told with my CT scan that I do have May-Thurner syndrome, which is one of those compression syndromes. So I do have one of the anatomies where my artery is compressing my iliac vein a little bit. One of my iliac veins is getting a little narrowed. However, this is actually a pretty common anatomy, and so we're not going to mess with that yet because I'm actually not having any symptoms from that compression. So if I was having symptoms from that compression, I would probably have some more prominent like groin and vulvar, perineal, varicose veins. I would have swelling and pain down my left leg especially, and I'm just not having any of that. So we're going to address all of the gonadal veins and the collateral perimetrial veins and then see what happens from there. And I wanted this episode to be informative and let my listeners kind of know my journey. And I know a lot of you are kind of staying up to date with me, and so I'm sharing that, but also just because I want other women to really recognize this condition and the side and the risks and things that those symptoms that you might be just putting off and thinking, oh, that's just normal cyst pain, or oh, I'm starting my cycle, so I'm a little more constipated. I thought that this was a lot of just my cycle, aside from, yes, I have some pelvic floor muscle tightness. So now realizing that so much of it is this buildup of pressure and backflow of blood, it all just makes so much sense and everything just feels like that. It really does. You know, the cramping in my butt cheek feels like a throbbing space. Like it, the more I've gotten in tune to that space, it really does all feel like this heavy backflow buildup pressure. So I am hopeful, especially after talking with a lot of other women that have gone through with this and another amazing pelvic floor physical therapist who also went through with this and who had it, got the embolization, and she's so amazing. Her name is Dr. Julie Barron. She also created a program and a course for other therapists to learn more and the reality of this condition, because we were really done such a disservice as pelvic floor PTs. We were kind of told that this was just a distraction or a red herring and just do your manual work, do your breath work, you know, work on all the things that help, which they do help. And I'll get into that in a minute. But we can't change the vein structure. We just can't. And many people have a lot of these anatomical changes of dilation on their imaging and it shows that, but they might have no symptoms, which is why we've kind of been told not to pay attention to it. But the reality is that some people are symptomatic and some people are not. And so the people that are symptomatic, we can't be ignoring the fact that there's a piece of that care that we can't really control. So as a pelvic floor PT, I felt kind of helpless because I was like, I should know how to make all of these issues go away. But the reality is that's not true, right? Like I don't have the skills to go in through my jugular vein and put metal coils and try and make my vein structure better. Like I just don't have that capacity. Now, what am I doing to try and optimize all of my lymph flow, my vein flow? You know, I want all of my circulation to be working optimally. Increasing pressure in the core is obviously something I've worked so hard on optimizing in my own body and that I preach so much with my patients and other women, because it does, any increase in pressure not only affects like that pelvic floor space and can cause pain and tension, but also leaking and prolapse and more hemorrhoids. And we just want all of that to go away. So I don't want any extra pressure. I'm doing everything I can to optimize my pressure management, that lymph flow, and what we call the sump pump, which is essentially that piston movement between the diaphragm and the pelvic floor. When they work together, it works as a sump pump, which helps pump all of that fluid and lymph flow up into the circulatory system. And so things that make this worse and obviously make our circulation worse is being sedentary. So sitting for too long, standing for too long. The other thing that increases these symptoms and makes that pressure increase is things that do increase your blood flow. So this is where it gets tricky, right? It's like, well, if I increase my blood flow too much, then I'm in pain. But if I sit too much, then I'm in pain, because things like exercise can make this worse. This is when you can have a postcoital ache and have an achiness after sex or even during. And so again, it can be really tricky. And I've been navigating all of this now on the patient side, and I'm really trying to find that happy balance of all of it. And so looking at both what I have in my toolbox, so I am optimizing, I already binged Julie's course, so I have gotten a few new awesome breathing positions I'm really excited I've been trying and working on. I have been working a lot more on my manual work. I've gotten some compression garments. So I'm trying to make sure that I am optimizing that venous return and giving a little bit of compression. This is also something I am getting in my toolbox for my post-op recovery so that I have all of the extra assist to my system. Since I am going through with this procedure, I don't want it to be for nothing. So I've reached out to all of my holistic providers in my corner to try and get all of the insights for the things that I need to be really focusing on. And so after talking with Julie and getting more insight onto the exercise side, and I'm happy to report that I don't have to be so sedentary post-op. I was really afraid I was going to have to be sedentary for 6 weeks, but really that was just my provider telling me he didn't want me to put a 300-pound bar on my gut for 6 weeks when I hip thrust. Fair, fine. I won't do that for a while. But I will be walking after just a couple days. I will be starting to get back into my workout classes the following couple weeks. I will probably be doing them very low impact, but best believe I will be there. Even missing it for this week coming up, I'm kind of really sad. Guys, my birthday is on Sunday, and when this comes out, it'll be last Sunday. So my birthday is on St. Patrick's Day. I am getting my procedure on the 19th, so 2 days after. Yay, turn 23, and you get to have surgery. And then because it's so involved, I am probably going to have to go back again on Friday the 22nd. So when you hear this, I will already have gone through one of my procedures, and I may be going in for a second. So feel free to reach out. I will be sitting my bum on the couch bored. So also, if you have any good Netflix recommendations or book recommendations, please send them my way. So I will be posted up for a couple days with my compression shorts on. I also reached out to my amazing herbalist, Miss Amy McKelvey from Her Vital Way. She's been on my podcast before. I reached out to her. I was like, Amy, what do I need to do to improve my venous return and just congestion and stagnation in my pelvis? And I was so happy she told me that actually I should be using the calendula cream that my grandma makes for me every Christmas. So I've been rubbing my calendula cream on my belly. She said I could make a calendula tea. She also told me that I should look into ocotillo root, which is actually in our area. So I have been looking into this root. She sent me a link for a lymph tonic from Rogue Herbalist. So I just ordered that. I'm excited for that to come in because it has a couple mixtures of ocotillo, red root, and a couple other things, ginger, that are supposed to be really helpful for just reducing that stagnation in the pelvis. And so we want to think about anything we can do to help that circulation, improve mobility of everything, and also reduce pressure in the system. So this is, again, yes, lots of breath work, but I will also be doing a lot of pelvic elevation, and I've already been doing this. And I was already doing this some because it's also great for prolapse. However, with this awareness now that, oh, this feeling of like cramps and ache at the end of the day that I kind of just have been getting used to and not even really realizing how constant it is, it's pretty low level, but it is actually there a lot more than I thought. It's actually just a whole bunch of blood in my pelvis. Yay. And so I've been doing a lot of pelvic elevation. And this basically looks like one of my favorite positions is just puppy pose. So you're basically on your hands and knees, and then you just drop your chest. So you just let your chest touch the floor. Your arms are in front of you. Your butt is straight up in the air. Puppy pose is amazing. The other one that's really good is just a bridge where your pelvis is elevated in that bridge position. Or you can just elevate and prop your pelvis up on some pillows, put your legs up the wall, let all of gravity do the work. And that's going to help also just immediately reduce symptoms of pelvic heaviness and pain. So if you do have any prolapse or pain, but especially if you're like, wait, I have hemorrhoids. Wait, I've had a kid or multiple. Wait, I have pelvic pain. Wait, I also sometimes ache with sex. Then ding, 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 you need to be screened for pelvic venous disorder. And so if that's you and you're like, wait, crap, really? Then don't worry, because really the screening for this is actually just an ultrasound. And then yes, they do a CT scan. But it's not as invasive as, like, say, endometriosis, which to be truly diagnosed with endometriosis, you do have to get a laparoscopic procedure where they just explore and go in and start going through your gut and creating scar tissue. And that is a lot more risky, obviously. And so I was all for screening for this, and I'm just so glad they found it, because if they're not actually instructed to look for this, it can be missed. So you might even need to advocate for yourself in that sense and say, hey, I want to be screened for this because I heard that it's a thing. I have all these symptoms. Where do I go? So you should be getting sent to an interventional radiologist. Your gynecologist should not be diagnosing you with this. They can send, so if you start with your gynecologist or with your primary care, they can refer you for an ultrasound. But then ultimately, that radiologist that reads the ultrasound and an interventional radiologist is who you want to talk to. And so I hope that this was helpful for you guys, because again, just being aware that these things exist, the more women, like, now knowing what I know, I can't help but feel guilty for the women I've treated in the past where it was like, check, 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 check. They've got all these symptoms. Shoot, I think I missed this. There was probably still some low level symptoms that we just accepted when we could have really dealt with it. And so also for people in my family, like my poor grandma, she's got such bad varicose veins down her legs. And after talking about this condition with her, she's had a lot of the other symptoms that I had, especially the cyst pain, which for her did go away with menopause. And so she thought, oh, it's just cysts. But even with pelvic venous disorder, that's one of the symptoms that disappears and actually makes menopausal and postmenopausal women, usually they get really misdiagnosed and underdiagnosed for pelvic venous disorder because it's all of a sudden off most of the provider's radar now because you're not in that pregnancy state. However, you can still have all those varicose veins still there and causing other symptoms like constipation or leg pain. My grandma has poor leg pain on her left side. She's got a varicose vein in her groin, like all of the signs for this freaking issue that I have. And she's even got signs of the compression with the swelling and the pain. So I'm just like, grandma, you got to go see this doctor. So if this is you or you think of anyone in your family that does have some of those symptoms, please reach out. And also feel free to reach out to me so that I can help answer any questions you might have. But help me spread the word. This is a new condition that, well, it's not new, right? It's new to me, but it is so underdiagnosed. People are getting diagnosed with endometriosis and getting hysterectomies before they find out that it was actually their varicose veins in their pelvis causing a lot of these symptoms. And don't let that be you. I don't want you to have gone through major surgeries and still have pain. So make sure you're being an advocate for yourself. And just reach out. I'm here in your corner, the Balanced Vitality Wellness and Support, or if you want a more structured, tailored plan to help you move through your pelvic venous disorder or even any of the leaking issues I mentioned, prolapse, any pain, obviously, or if you're just pregnant and wanting some guidance, feel free to reach out to me. I am offering one-on-one coaching right now. I have select availability because I'm adding it on to my patient load as a physical therapist. So get in ASAP and we will make sure that we reach those goals in a safe and optimal way. I am batching some episodes because I imagine I am going to be out for the count a little bit and it is coinciding with spring break. So my kids will all be home. And so the timing on these might come out a little off, but just feel free, please reach out. I love the feedback. And again, if you could leave me a 5-star review, I would really appreciate it. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day. I know you've got so many other important things going on, but I hope it was helpful and you leave here with some tools to help you in your healing journey. And I just want to ask you, if you have found this helpful, to please leave a review on iTunes. Scroll down to the bottom of my podcast page and leave that 5-star review so it can help other women see this information. And also, if you want to be a part of my community of amazing women trying to balance all the things, great tips and insight and sharing stories and just motivating each other along the way, feel free to join my Facebook group, The Balanced Vitality Wellness and Support. I hope to see you here next time on the Balanced Vitality Podcast.